ultimately safer transportation system in the city. I'm assuming that people know what I'm talking about. So yeah, that was probably the thing I'm most proud of. One item I'd like to see in the development of the plan. I think the main thing that I would like to see is a focus on, you know, high quality transit service in the city. Preferably being, you know, exclusively in separate lanes. No mixing stuff, nothing like that. Because, you know, bus gets stuck in traffic, nobody wants to ride them. You're reducing the utility of the tool by forcing it to be there, and then people just don't want to use it. And then having more of those bus lines all around the city would help us all move around better. The thing that stood out for me on the mobility plans was there was a fairly unified message. Like, everybody is looking to accomplish similar things in their cities. They understand what their problems are, and they have an idea of how they want to go and approach to fix them. And we're doing the same here. You know, we have some ideas. There's a lot of people that are very engaged in the entire process as well. At least them being us on the commissions. You know, they're members of the public in like the transportation master plan meetings and all those things. So yeah, we're working towards what we want. It might be going a little more slowly than we would like, but I think, yeah, those plans all kind of had the same messages that I enjoyed.
I did. So I'm I'm Casey Kane. I'm on the Transportation Commission as a representative from the Traffic and Parking Board. So my favorite transportation feature or proud accomplishment is actually being part of the Bike and Ped chapter of the Transportation Master Plan, and having some engagement with the Vision Zero Plan, linking those with the Complete Streets Design Guide and the Eco City Action Plan, I think form a wonderful set of documents for us to be guided by. But unfortunately, based on my experience Monday night, all the plans in the world don't allow us to get stuff accomplished. And so it's my favorite feature, but it's also currently my biggest disappointment. I think that going forward, it presents a challenge for us with the new plan, but also just in terms of communicating to the residents about a plan and how to, you know, effectively execute that. Some cities are now starting to, you know, take a different approach, which is that we are going to do this, you know, absent some compelling argument not to do it, as opposed to, you know, allowing arguments that I would say aren't compelling to carry the day and then sort of derail your plan, and now you've got to refocus and gather that up. So at the moment, I'm very disappointed. So I would argue that I think that would be something nice to try to strive towards in the new plan, is some way to sort of create a better message that we really need to do these things. These shouldn't just be aspirational. That our goal needs to be more focused in getting it completed. Just imagine the Beltway didn't exist when I moved here. It exists today, but imagine if they only built two pieces of that once every 10 years or something. You know, how effective would that road have become, or detrimental in some people's minds? In terms of the handouts, I think one of the things that I really like in reading is the sort of the vision that people have, and including Alexandria, in terms of where we need to go, and in some cases that ability to execute. The diversity of the size of these communities is compelling, and you start looking for ones that sort of, you know, match into our place and, you know, how they fit. So Asheville is kind of encouraging that way because it's smaller, but, you know, by 2040 it's going to have a population the size we've got now, but they're, you know, focused on making sure that they go after what they need now. So all you.
All right. I'm Carolyn Schroeder, and I'm the representative from the Environmental Policy Commission. Favorite transportation feature? I feel like it's already been said, the biking infrastructure. So I'm going to say what drew me to this, to Transportation Commission originally, was just like all of it together, like the boat and the trolley and the bus. And the, there's just so many options. I have a bad day, my ankle's not feeling good, I don't have to bike that day, I can get to work another way and another way and another way. And I really love all the transportation options that feel like they're really within reach. I will say that one of the things that do stand out to me is something like the trolley, which only captures a very short, small area. But you've had buses, you have many buses that go up and down King Street all day long. But when you put that trolley in, all of a sudden you see it being used. So, and it's accessible, it even has appeal. So with that creativity in mind, I would like to see us kind of keep that in mind that, yeah, something like with the bike infrastructure, if it's going to be a bike lane next to a bunch of cars and a high-speed road, no one's going to use it. So you have to really think about what attracts people to use this infrastructure. You know, what gets someone on that to use a bus? Well, they'll use the trolley when it's maybe... because it's free. I actually think it has to do that it stops and hotels are giving the outreach and telling them where the bus stops are, and it comes frequently and goes where they want to go. So I think the same thing with bike infrastructure, the boat and everything else. We just have to keep what people need in mind and what they want. As far as something that stood out, maybe mobility plans, I would say there's some creativity and that forward thinking that really jumps out at me, that and there's some exemplary ideas that we could pull from and consider for our plan, and just the prioritization of people first. I think that's a really important thing to look at. I'm not saying no cars. Cars are very important, but when it comes to something like Vision Zero, which I too am very proud of as a plan, I mean, you're talking prevention, and so you're looking at these roadways and transportation system and what can we do to make sure that never happens? Do the best to our ability. Try to make it idiot-proof. Or you don't design something with the speed limit signs that aren't really something achievable in the way the road's designed, for example, something that we talked about on Monday. And I think that was a really good point. That's exactly what's happening in some cases. And we really need to consider our complete streets and our goals, our prevention goals, and really prioritize people first.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Aaliyah Gaskins. Thank you for your patience with me and with Amtrak. I'm excited to be here. I guess just two for me in terms of something I'm excited about for the AMP, and we're going to talk a bit about this tonight, but is around our civic engagement process and really how do we get creative and move from kind of our traditional things that we've seen the city do and meetings and just really using this as a chance to move from engagement to participation and really having a community-driven process. In terms of something that stood out for me from the plan, two things I would lift up. I think it was the first one, but it had a slide in there that said very clearly what the plan is and what it is not. I think we all have a lot of hopes for the AMP and really see this as a big opportunity, but I think we also need to be clear on there are limitations. It is a plan, and one plan of many, as Casey raised. And so being very clear and intentional about what we want to achieve and what we can achieve in this process. The other thing that stood out to me were kind of the different visions in each of the plans and how often we use fuzzy language that we haven't really defined for ourselves. So several plans, you know, were intentional about their commitment to an equitable transportation system. And I think we've used the word equitable and we think of it as a priority, but we've never actually kind of defined that as a commission, and I'm not sure the extent to which the city has as well. We've also thrown around terms of like a healthy transportation network, well-connected, and so just really thinking about as we go through the visioning process, what do these terms mean to us, what do they mean to our city, and which ones are most important to make sure that we frame.
My name is Wendy Phelps, and I'm with Tool Design. I don't know that I have a favorite transportation feature. I did the WABA Sweet Ride the other weekend, and I felt like I saw a lot of parts of Alexandria I'd never seen before, which was really cool. So the bike infrastructure, and to toot our own horn, the wayfinding we did for the metro shutdown, was really cool to bike past that and be like, oh, hey, that's cool. And one thing I'd like to see in the development of the mobility plan, I think, to echo sort of Casey's point in bringing all these existing plans together and something that makes sense and is maybe more accessible to the general public than reading all of the separate plans, but helping them understand how they fit together and really hopefully shape the future for Alexandria.
My name is Dan Goodman. I'm with Tool Design. I work with Wendy. So to clarify, so Tool Design is a sub-consultant. We're working with Kimley Horn as the consultants on the team. I would say that one thing I'm proud of in Alexandria is that I worked on actually the first pedestrian and bicycle, or the pedestrian and bicycle plan before that one. When
the
I was
2008 one.
The 2008 one, yes. So I was the project manager of that one. After that plan, I went and led the pedestrian and bicycle program at the Federal Highway Administration for 5 years, and now I'm back. And so I'm really excited to come back, actually, and kind of bring what we thought about in the 2008 plan and then see all this great new material that we've worked with you all on to develop. I'm excited to dig into a lot of these new important policy documents and like Wendy said, really think about what are the connections between those documents and how do we not just regurgitate and reiterate what's in there, but more show people the connections between them and figure out how we kind of make real change out of those things. So that's something I'm really excited about. So.
Hi all, my name is Erin Murphy, I'm from Kimley Horn. For the consultant team, I'm gonna act as the project manager in support of Jen and Chris, and I'm really excited to work with all of you and say thank you for having us here with you tonight and explaining a little bit more about yourselves. To answer a couple of these questions that you have humored us by answering, I too get excited about all of the things coming together. I grew up in a somewhat rural suburban part of New Jersey. Yes, that exists. I know the suburban part is, but we had horses down the street. And so just, there was a train station, but you know, for the most part, we're driving everywhere. And so I live here in this region now, and I use, you know, 6 different ways to move myself and my kids around pretty much on a daily basis. So that's my transportation thing. Within this process, I probably have 2 things that I'm really excited about. The first is I love civic engagement. I get frustrated when we have limitations on what we can do, so I'm hoping that we can work hand in hand with you all to really expand the reach of what we are able to do, you know, just within ourselves and then just with the city. Those are, you know, I say just, but more is better. We want to spread the word, and we want to work with you all to do that. And my second is I've done quite a bit of planning. I have worked on Potomac Yard North and Crystal City small area transportation plans over a decade ago, so there's sort of some excitement for me right now, despite the bad word of, you know, the people bringing HQ2 here, that there's sort of some momentum to make some big things happen in the transportation world. So that sort of point between what we do in planning and that what turns into implementation is getting me excited these days.
I'm Chris Zeman, the transportation planner chief. I'm mostly just kind of sitting on the sidelines while Jen here manages, drives the train here. But I would say my favorite transportation feature, and I'm surprised no one has said this yet, is our pedestrian network. I know it's not as extensive in every part of the city, but where I live, I can walk to about 5 different grocery stores within 20 minutes, and I can, you know, and restaurants and parks and schools and everything like that. And if I wanted to, I could walk all the way to work pretty safely and everything. And to me, that's what really makes a city a city, is how easily you can walk. And obviously, the town is very walkable, blah, blah, blah. But, and one of the things I enjoy in my work is I'm overseeing the program to add more sidewalks and improve sidewalks around the city. So I feel like that's a very fundamental building block of what makes a sustainable, progressive, safe network. One of the most proud transportation accomplishments is actually about a year and a half ago, we updated the commercial parking standards, both to improve both to support small businesses and reduce a lot of that regulatory burden, but also that I feel creates, and not I feel, but it's also backed up by a lot of data, creates an actual systemic solution to congestion that we see over and over again. So, and then one item I hope to see in the AMP is really so obviously connection to all the other plans and everything, that is great, that's important, but I really want to see this plan kind of take the city forward to 2030, to 2040, to 2050. I don't know what that means, and I don't know what that should mean yet, of course, but that's why I'm really excited about this plan.
Thanks. So Jen Schlesinger, project manager for this effort. So I've just been here for 3 months, so I can't take full responsibility for the favorite features in Alexandria. But I would say I am an awesome user of bike share in the city, and I love that that exists. And yeah, I could take 5 or 6 trips a day, love one-way biking, and I think it's really exciting, especially when I went on the bike trail last night and saw a lot more people than other days using bike share probably to commute now. So I think that's really great. And then, yeah, I think just reiterating what a lot of people said about this plan, but I'm really hoping that we can not only push forward the thinking and move forward and really situate us well over the next 10 years, but make it implementable, make it something that people can point to and is actually what's pushing things forward after it's done. So I want to get something that's concrete, has actionable measure, and that people can really use use easily. And then from the other mobility plans, I just really liked some of the really focused frameworks that they had with the vision, the goals, the objectives, the strategies, the actions that really all tied together in some plans. They can be, you have these goals and then you have all these projects and it's unclear how they all connect. And I really, I think the Philly plan did a really good job of connecting all of those. The transit plan, the New Orleans transit plan was one of the first ones I put in there that spelled out that framework really well. So I really like that, and I think that's important to, it can seem like fluffy words, but I think it's really important to be clear about why we're doing everything that we lay out to do. I also like that their goal zero was vision zero, and their goal one was transit first. So thank you all for looking at the materials and for your thoughtful feedback on that. I think it's really helpful as we move this forward.
Can I add one more comment? And this city is two cities, actually. There is a city that exists east of Quaker Lane and a city that exists west of Quaker Lane. So a lot of the things that we like about Alexandria really exist on the east side. And so I think one of the challenges is to recognize that, so it's almost to this equity issue, is how do we make sure that we don't forget that to make it easy for people to walk to the 5 grocery stores on the west end would be as enticing for the person who can walk to 5 grocery stores on the east side of town. Bike share, it basically stops at Quaker Lane. It doesn't go beyond there. So if you want to probe beyond there, you've got, a 15-minute stretch before you've got to get back to your bike share station. So I think that should be part of what we look forward to. Same with the bike network. It's pretty good on the east side, but when you start to move to the west, it starts to not be quite so robust.
I guess in terms of what we were hoping to do today, I know everyone's kind of seen the agenda, but I think one of the most exciting pieces is that now that we have the consultant team on board and that we have Jen, we have people to actually steward the process and keep moving. So I think we're going to take maybe 10 minutes and just kind of check in on the schedule itself and how we're going to meet and how we can support them, but also be, I think you used the word, kind of extenders out to help engage the public. And then I think we're going to spend some time kind of diving into actually being a test on the survey and providing feedback. And I think our hope is that these meetings, now that they're going to be more regular and we're getting moving, are going to be a place for a lot of discussion and feedback and be very interactive. So I know we're small but mighty today, but don't hold back. So yeah, I guess with that.
Thank you. So I wanted to provide an updated schedule of sorts for the advisory committee. And this is still, this meeting we mentioned we want to go through the survey and start the visioning discussion. But we want to come back in July. Hopefully you're all saving your travel plans for August. but we want to do a more comprehensive workshop with all of you to that will hopefully have some feedback from people who've taken the survey that can inform us as we work to really establish those vision and goals for the project. And then in September, we have another, the bold, yeah, indicates a bigger meeting, an innovation forum where we, I think I might have mentioned this at earlier meetings, but start thinking about the new mobility context and what's coming down the line and how start thinking more about how that can influence what we need to be thinking about in this plan. And then October, November, and December are somewhat flexible and might be smaller meetings to get into the basics of the different chapter elements and to really start to understand where we've been, where we're going, and what we might need to be thinking about for the strategies. And then in January, working with you guys to really start to formulate what those strategies and recommendations are. Performance, we have an appendix to the plan that'll be looking at tracking progress that I think will be really important. And then at the end of the process in March, we'll have the draft document for all of you to review. So I think this is pretty similar to what you've seen before, but I think spells out what the direction that we hope to go in. Anything to add on this piece?
No, thanks, Jen. I think just in general, we've tried to align big pieces of public information, public engagement, so that we are bringing at least the first round of input that we get from the public to you to the table to really discuss those items. And beyond that, we really want to have a lot of discussion. And these three workshops in particular, very discussion-oriented. I will add for the Innovation Forum, some of our team members are at the, the Shared Use Mobility Center in California. So they are on our team representing themselves, but they bring sort of the state of the practice and research oriented, but really bridging the place between where the research and where the implementation in terms of smart mobility and sort of big picture smart mobility come to play. So we're really excited to work with them. One of them is going to be here to lead the Innovation Forum. We're going to work through the logistics and the plan for that with Jen in the next month or so here, and really sort of leverage this team member that's got a lot of experience in this sort of groundbreaking and the next generation of mobility planning. So we're really excited about that.
So where does the public come in? There's more to come. Okay.
So this is just the rough schedule for the process. We're in the visioning phase now. That'll take the bulk of the summer, and then we'll be doing idea generation with a big public outreach push, as well as phase three, which will be, we'll have recommendations for people to digest and react to. So we have consultant support for a variety of different engagement activities. We'll be doing fact sheets that can be turned into flyers and other things. But we have this, hopefully, I platform, a web platform that'll allow us to do a bunch of different web engagement techniques. And then, you know, the plan right now is to have 3 public meetings, events in that strategy generation phase, as well as 4 pop-up events at that time, and then some supported commission and council meetings. So we have sort of a solid bones of engagement that we have some support to do that are...
Jen, mm-hmm. Can you expand on some of the strategies that fall under like, the web engagement platform, like examples of what that looks like?
Sure. So the web engagement platform has a variety of capabilities. So this is sort of too much behind the scenes, but back end, we have support to do the survey. There's other capabilities that we might be able to do if resources allow with mapping tools, interactive mapping tools, focus group discussions, so you could have invite-only focus groups and moderate discussions and generate community engagement that way for people who might not be able to make meetings. So that's something we're looking to explore. I think those are the basic functionalities of the site, but it's a pretty user-friendly message boards and other things, but we have to look into it a little bit more about what makes sense to proceed with.
Will those be accessible by people who have different languages?
Oh, languages?
It can be translated, it is 508 compliant, so it'll be able to be used by somebody who is using a screen reader with the audio assist.
Okay, good, because both of those should be included.
And when we have what we've listed as pop-up events, we have another team member who has got Spanish and Amharic speakers on staff. So for those, we will try and specifically target where those engagement events are and conduct them with native language speakers.
I was just going to remark that actually Spanish and Amharic is excellent. The other big language cohort in Alexandria is Arabic. So it'd be good to try to find somebody who could do that as well.
Okay, we'll check into that.
I think those are the 4 main ones in the city. The 4 biggest cohorts is English, Spanish, Arabic, and Amharic.
I think another thing I would just raise, as you guys think about kind of the web platform, the virtual focus groups, I'm thinking about, you know, just coming off of the transit vision plan and the different stakeholders. I think we said like 30 or 40 different nonprofits. I wonder if, you know, as part of the follow-up, any of those groups might be able to, with some support, host some focus groups and try and get information that way, or not to put you on the spot, but maybe the chamber might be willing to do some virtual engagement, but really thinking about who are the groups that have a network that if they were the host for this virtual activity could actually help it reach more people.
Good timing. I just got access to the ATV list and been going through that for that very purpose. So. Yeah, I think we want to leverage a lot of the work that's already been done in the city, so I think that'll be great.
So based on sort of some of the chatter that was out there on the Seminary Road project, there were a lot of people who were engaging for the first time and, you know, feeling like the city had been doing lots of underhanded stuff and then realized that some of the stuff was actually occurring in some of these documents and all, and so they sort of talked about the fact that they needed to be more engaged in this process. So I think it's going to be good to have some of this stuff, but we need to really be sure that they do get that opportunity to speak up, and so it better frames it. So I hope that the publicity is frequent and often and comprehensive, so that it really does capture as many people as possible, so that they really did get their shot at commenting.
I think that's also where you guys might also help come in.
Right.
The focus groups is, or the online focus groups are intended to reach hard-to-reach audiences, and we were brainstorming what types of groups we might want to consider, and having geographic-specific focus groups was something that has crossed my mind, but I think it's important that we make sure, and we want to capture location information from everyone we hear from, so we can go back and retarget groups that we're not hearing from as much. But so we have some consultant support to do work, but we also have City of Alexandria staff, the Advisory Committee, and the Transportation Commission, who I think can also help expand the reach of all of these these different efforts. So the city will be responsible for doing social media, and we'll be sending out emails to groups, doing e-news, a lot of the traditional mechanisms for how we get the word out. But then we also have the ability to distribute flyers to community centers, libraries, and other places. And then we're looking to see if we can do some potentially more additional pop-ups. And then I think the opportunity to present it at other meetings, so we don't have to host our own meetings, but maybe go to other people's meetings and share information about the plan at various stages, I think could be helpful. But we wanted to turn the question to you guys to see if there's other ways that you think or how you would like to be able to support the engagement effort for this plan. Some of you have different constituencies or whatnot, but it would be great if all of you could help us expand the reach.
So one idea I have is on the meetings is that the traditional is to reach out to the civic associations, but you know, as I've said before, they don't always reach the entire populace, and so there needs to be some way to figure out how to get into some of these apartment complexes and the condo associations that don't have civic associations but actually have a fair number of people in there, and we oftentimes get missed, you know, whether it's the, you know, coming and doing the presentation kind of thing. I personally don't know how to crack it, but it is something that we perhaps collectively can try to figure out how to do that, you know, whether it's targeting the landlord or, you know, something but just to make sure these people really do have that shot. You know, whether they're a homeowner or a renter, if they're living in Alexandria, they should have the opportunity to have at least heard about it and comment.
Two ideas that come to mind for me. The city, through the city academies, whether it's like the police or all the different ones they have, I feel like they're starting to generate just a robust network of people who are excited about getting engaged and learning more about the city. And so I wonder if Elaine might be able to send things out or even have you guys present or connect with the other academies to figure out how they could be almost ambassadors for distributing some of your flyers or raising awareness about the plan. The other idea that comes to mind for me is just as you think about the opportunities with the pop-ups, like I've often seen them at farmers markets, but I think especially how we talked about the West End can be hard to reach. You know, there's a very distinct group of people who go to the Cameron Station's farmers market, and so what are the other places people are frequenting? You know, I even think like sometimes there's like interesting festivals or church activities or things that are going on, and really figuring out who we could leverage in order to be able to connect with some of those groups. I think Councilmember Salfadine might have some just great contacts or local groups, especially on the West End and within sort of more diverse populations that he's been engaging around the census work, that could also just have ideas for you guys.
Okay. Yeah, we might so reach out at least forward to your networks or friends information. I think it's a minimum that would be really great to have your help with that. So this just wanted to queue up the visioning process. We're going to be releasing this survey in early July. I have that open for 3 weeks. So by the scheduled July meeting, we'll have not all of the input, but we'll have several weeks of data that we can share with you. And then so we'll have the advisory committee meeting, and then we'll bring all of the data to a project management team meeting to flesh out the final draft vision and guiding principles that we'll put out there during the second phase of the process. So with that, I wanted to turn it over to Aaron to they've put together a modified version of the survey that we've still somewhat a work in progress, but I think it's at a good place to get your input, or to take the survey and get your input that can help inform how we release this in the final version.
Great, thank you. So using that Engagement HQ platform, we are planning to develop, well, we are in process of developing this survey. So as Jen said, we're still fine-tuning, so thank you for being our our guinea pigs for this survey. With you all right now, what we would like to do is have you take this survey via cell phone polling. So does everyone have a cell phone, or could anybody use a cell phone from us?
Borrow mine if you'd like.
Yeah, welcome to borrow mine if anybody needs one. So we're able to ask you a series of questions. We're hoping we can complete that relatively quickly, so, you know, kind of go with your gut reactions, make a note if there's something that you find confusing, we'll come back and discuss it, and then we'll see, there's only a handful of people here, but we'll see the results as soon as that that gets pulled up. So with that, I'm going to hand you to Wendy to talk you through how exactly to execute the survey here.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go toggle on the computer?
Yeah, that would be great, because then we'll have the code up there. So we're going to use a platform called Mentimeter, and the website for that is Menti, M-E-N-T-I. com. And you just use your whatever web browser you have on your phone. And it should ask you for a 6-digit code.
And you want to put the code on the top of the screen there.
Can we do it by the computer? Or is that
you can do it by the computer as well.
I'll use my minutes.
Definitely a little larger font as well.
That too. I picked the wrong thing.
One of the questions has got some responses that we can't fit in the cell phone or on the screen, so we've got some sort of long-form descriptions. If you don't need these, feel free to just kind of go with the bold, the sort of introductory phrase. We're going to work on sort of narrowing this down a little bit as we move through our refinement process.
Mm-hmm. So I think there are 6 or 7 questions in the cell phone version, and this will look different on the Engagement HQ platform.
This was for question 1?
No.
Oh.
This is for question 5.
Oh, okay.
5 or 6 at the end.
Mm-hmm. Do we keep going, or we?
Yeah, you can keep
going.
The preference here was for everyone to take all the questions and then go back through, and we can look at, talk through some of the results that we see. So the first question is live here, so you can see people's responses come up. So dive into the rest of them. Some of the multiple choice questions ask for 2 or 5 responses, so you should be able to select the appropriate number.
I'm just watching when people put their phones down.
I know it's weird having a phone out at a meeting.
Yeah, it's the one time
to
where
be
you're allowed
to. That person.
The advantage is you already know how to use your phone. So
fair.
Yeah.
There's no learning curve.
So it's clearer than that. Everybody has to learn.
Clears are fun, I have to admit. I was like,
your practice
gadgets.
Ooh. Get a heart at the end.
It loves you.
I'm done, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have to start over. Let's go to another presentation.
Take another, do you want me to comment on another city's transportation?
Some of these surveys I get paid for. I wonder how much I get
paid. What are you getting paid to sit here?
I wonder if I just start entering code numbers, I can impact other people's other cities. Yeah. On a roll here.
What's this survey about?
Well, on the website, if you go to like the marketing, like how do I use this? What should I use it for? They have all sorts of suggestions: weddings, sporting events.
I'm gonna Google this for us because this is like, you know, we have toyed with the idea of what would be so fun to be interactive during like a when appropriate a presentation, mm-hmm. and this right. looks like a really cool.
Fun.
This looks like it accomplishes what what we were looking for.
And it's, the back end is quite nice and easy to use as well.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. I'm not being paid.
No, I love it. I love it.
I also like the word cloud.
Yeah, I know the word cloud too is even more
exciting.
They've
got some cool question types. My favorite one is in here.
We are perhaps ready to flip through these. And Jen, you want to flip through and pause for discussion on each question? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So three words that describe your ideal vision for mobility in Alexandria. I can't say that I'm surprised or upset that safe is our big word there. Accessible, convenient. So those are the ones that are showing up most often. See anything that surprises them or that you want to emphasize a little bit more? Action-oriented?
I think it's interesting that accessible is rising to the top. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have necessarily expected that. Mm-hmm.
It means so many different things, or similar things.
So in something like this, would you take similar words and just sort of combine them to bring up their ranking, or you know, what would you do with this other than having lots of cool words? And
so when we do this with a sort of a much wider audience, right. we hope that there are some words that rise to the top, and there may be a couple that are related, and we right. need to use some so we need to use some judgment to think about what those mean
right.
To us collectively, but really that we do hope that the vision reflects the words that we hear back from the community. So that's the purpose of this particular question.
I was recently at a community workshop where sort of there was a human-centered design process. We were using a lot of post-its. But some of the feedback that came back was there were a lot of Spanish speakers, and they enjoyed the ability to be able to write their post-its in Spanish, and mm-hmm. someone could translate it later. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, can you either type in the language that is of preference to you, and then it be translated on the back end, or will the survey also be available in other languages?
I believe that we can use the platform to translate into at least one other language, and so we will. So that in that case, we can put the survey directly into the native language. Now, for the other languages, I'm not sure because Amharic and Arabic have totally different characters.
I think if we could at least get Spanish to start,
right?
Okay.
We would have. Processing, though, right, to bring the Spanish results and the English results back together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can do that.
I just clicked through this right now. Yeah.
Yep. This is my favorite question.
No more little dots at the.
So, transportation in and of itself is really a means to an end, save for perhaps the cases where it's also sort of recreational. But so we wanted to ask, really why are the reasons that people make the choices that they are. People make rational choices, and those need to be considered when we do mobility planning. So need of children, that's one of my primary factors to deciding how I get around. So I'm on board with that one. Parking. Chris mentioned before the parking update that he participated in commercial parking. So that's something that is sort of tried and true in terms of transportation planning, but I don't know that something that the public necessarily understands the link between sort of parking and mobility. Sure, go ahead.
Just one clarification. So the need for children. Oh, okay, I see. Okay. I was misinterpreting it. I was only looking at the balls, not the numbers, and I was thinking that it was three for need of children and zero for travel time, but it's actually three for travel time.
Yes.
Zero
for children. I misinterpreted that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hard with that many options.
Okay. I was like, yeah. Thinking, if I knew it, go up there.
Travel
yeah.
time.
I was,
that one makes
yes.
more sense
yeah.
to me.
Yes, it does. I agree.
Anything that stood out to anybody when you were pressing buttons?
Yeah, actually, this will be true on some of the others. This is an awful lot to try to find, to narrow it down to two.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if it wouldn't be better to sort of do several questions and you know, maybe recast these slightly differently so that you could, you know, you'd get a little more feedback from people. 'Cause I think that could ultimately be one of the criticisms is that, well, there were more things that I needed to, you know, register. I realize you're trying to limit it, but...
Right.
What if you just limited it to three instead of two?
You want to pick?
Then you can, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, though, because I had the same thing. If I was putting a bunch of different scenarios, and I got stuck on this question longer probably than the rest. Like, cost would be a big deal. If it's like a difference between a flight versus a bus, like I'm going to take probably the bus, like it's a huge differential, but if I'm thinking on a daily basis between riding my bike and taking the bus, I'll probably take the bus. The travel time was really important, so I could see different scenarios that this would vary greatly.
So on a daily basis might be a sort
or
of
for your commute
clarification.
Or
yeah.
something like
right.
getting real specific
yeah.
to certain
yeah.
scenarios.
I mean, we don't
might help.
Love to do commute because that limits, you know, that assumes that everyone is commuting and
yeah.
that is not the case. But
I could like, yeah, I see that point too. I just was finding myself like having, I realized I'd take all of these into consideration
yeah.
at some point and they'll rise to the top at different times. I'm not sure how to get to it, but just something to think
yeah.
about.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not a survey design person, but just wondering around the difference between like select the two most important factors and something that's like how do you choose? So I don't.
And okay.
Yeah.
And what happens with other? Is that free form so I can type a 27? Page screed if I wanted to.
It'll have a character
I
limit, but it will have a character limit.
25.
But you will be able to tell us what other means.
Okay.
What is most important to prioritize in the Alexandria Mobility Plan? So we have four for travel to or from, and three for travel within, and no for travel through.
I guess that's a question. I assume we're just targeting residents.
I would target, it's nice, residents and people who work here
mm-hmm.
are the folks that we primarily want to target. It's nice to have visitors, you know, if we can spread the word through Visit Alexandria or the like. You are in a community where tourism and visiting is,
right, yeah.
you know, part of what goes on here.
But I guess my question is, the people who would prioritize getting through Alexandria don't stop here. So would anybody answer that, I guess?
So in some respects, we ask this question a lot, and sometimes we ask intentionally because we want to sort of get that response. We want to get, you know, when we get to developing strategies or priorities, we might, you know, say, well, we want to do X, and then when we go back to the vision and the priorities that were community-driven, we can go back and say, well, does this make sense in the context of what we heard in our sort of discovery process? And it can be a benefit.
So will the survey have some demographic questions in there so that would sort of help filter out or at least identify those who are, I mean, because maybe some people do care about cut-through traffic.
Right.
You know, and so in the new plan, they want to make sure that barricades are built.
We've heard people calling for that. That's actually not a joke.
I'm going to let you implement that, by the way. I'll nod my head. So,
The survey will ask for zip codes of where you live and then where you work, go to school, or most frequently travel. So it'll ask for two zip code entries. So we'll be able to sort of toggle a little bit. We'll be able to cross-tabulate the results based on those entries. We'll ask for an email address because we want to engage with these folks again, and there will be optional demographic surveys that mirror what the Virginia Department of Transportation asks folks.
And then what are you trying to get to the scope of it? Like, what are you trying to answer with this question, or is it a bunch of different things that you're... I was just kind of... I had the same kind of question when I was filling it out, and... I ended up opting for the middle one, the travel to or from, but I actually probably would care more about what's happening in Alexandria, but I guess the other one I was thinking, well, it'll end up including other things because I was thinking broader because you cross into other places all the time. Like, you go to the boat to go across the water, so I felt like that's what led me to that one, but I'm just wondering how you're taking this information if everyone picked that middle one or alternatively, the travel within Alexandria, like, what would you be planning? How would you interpret that information, and how would it impact what we do?
So, in all cases, in some respects, we like to have mobility to go anywhere at any time. Mm-hmm. So that really comes down to prioritization. So if we're prioritizing space within the public right-of-way, are we prioritizing it for means to travel on more local trips? Are we prioritizing that for means to come to and from the city? Transit is a good one, right? Are we emphasizing connections to regional facilities, or are we emphasizing routes that, you know, allow for circulation and access within the city? So there's not maybe one specific application of the data set, but can be, you know, useful from an informational perspective. What are the most important challenges that should be considered? So I'm really interested to hear your reaction to the list we put up here. Whether you thought it was appropriate, perhaps you thought it was too long. Climate change, am I reading that correctly, Wendy?
That's pretty
interesting. Climate change was on a lot of minds. Vision Zero, and congestion.
Do you think people will know what some of these terms mean? I know what Vision Zero is, but do you think the people taking this would know that that's like a safety? Like, I'm just wondering if
right.
the terminology or even if it's like shared mobility. I know you put it in parentheses, which I thought was helpful.
So we'll try.
But I wouldn't know if everyone would think bike share is the same as Zipcar, you know, so they might be like, what do you mean by this?
Right. Or is bike share considered a challenge necessarily?
So originally the question was formulated challenges and opportunities. The list got pretty long, so we decided to subdivide. Some of them ended up in both categories. So whether you found that to be confusing, we will be able to
choice because I didn't know what connected autonomous vehicles actually was. So
okay,
that's something that I'm not sure if others had that problem, but that was one. And then I was considering like things like Vision Zero, just to be. I mean, these are transportation terminology or people who are plugged into the city.
So we'll be able to put some prompts. And so what we're trying to work with is how long are the prompts so that they're useful, and then not too long so that, you know, first they don't fit, and second people take too long to take the survey. So
if this survey goes out in July, one of the problems is that the growth of shared mobility, when they see the word scooter, you'll have hundreds of clicks on that because people are really concerned about scooters just in and of itself. So is this one where we were limited? Or you could pick as many as you wanted.
Choose two.
So I'm afraid what's going to happen is you're going to end up with this kind of skewed thing because people see this as an opportunity to let you know that they don't like scooters.
So just removing the scooter, would that simply be a... or do we not see shared mobility as a challenge?
Well, I think shared mobility is a challenge, but I just fear that people might ignore all these other things just so they can make sure that one of their votes is because they don't like scooters.
Okay.
I mean, it helps that you're kind of explaining what shared mobility is, but I think when they see scooter, it's just going to get clicked.
Okay.
And I agree with Carolyn about kind of making sure there's a good definition.
Yeah, we're going to keep working through that.
Yeah.
Is there any trans-related challenge on
here? Yeah, that's true. There's no explicit transit category. That's a valid point.
Congestion impacting buses is a thing, but yeah.
It's related.
Look into that.
For the limited availability of funding, is that funding specific to our infrastructure or kind of what's all included in that category?
So we traditionally talk about both capital and operating funding. So how, you know, sort of how big is the pot to make capital improvements and to maintain the assets that we have, and then how big is the pot to sort of operate things on a day-to-day basis, so it's pretty comprehensive.
From the city's perspective, do you consider the infrastructure to be aging more rapidly than we're able to keep up with maintaining it?
I mean, we have started on the repaving plan. I mean, there's the metro infrastructure.
I mean, are bridges in bed? I know the one out, the Glebe and the Mount Vernon, and then the one on Eisenhower by Holmes Run.
Yeah.
But are there any other bridges that are those ones that are they're essentially being addressed? Correct.
Yeah, I mean they've recently come up. Like,
well, what I'm getting at, do we need to include aging infrastructure on? Are we getting a lot of concern from people about aging infrastructure?
I mean, mostly potholes or...
Right.
Yeah. Like,
but that's more maintenance, right?
I'm trying to think.
So, for the question, I don't know, but for our collective work as we move together, if you've, you know, sort of framing questions mm-hmm. of that ilk, mm-hmm. We're going to take notes on those and then see if we can sort of put a little bit of, you know, simple white papers, simple framing, you know, short framing documents together that respond to some of the big questions. So at least when we move into sort of idea generation, we collectively and you all specifically have that sort of foundation about where we are now, what options are out there, and how do we use that in decision making. Okay, I'm going to keep flipping here. What are the most important opportunities when it comes to the future of transportation in Alexandria? So we've got a lot of votes for reducing traffic fatalities and injuries and for transit-oriented development.
Any feedback on how answering this question and the options there?
I'm assuming there'll be prompts for this one as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if opportunity is too big of a word.
Yeah. What if it's just what is most important when it comes to the future of transportation?
It's a simple question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Connected vehicles and emerging technology are kind of the same thing. Think that might be, we could probably merge those two or just, you know, put connected vehicles and leave it at that.
Okay. Well, if you have, so when I interpreted emerging technology, I was thinking of things like, when the streets are able to talk to the lights mm-hmm. and there's a much more educated term for this, I'm too late, but it's way too late, but yeah, like kind of the interconnectivity there or apps related to your transit. Your
efficiencies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be more inclined to use something broader technology and that connected and autonomous vehicles would fit within that category. The city has got a smart mobility framework document that sort of explains a little bit of sort of where things stand now and where things are headed. So that's a good point of reference.
Yeah, the green mobility technology.
And I did find myself liking the word opportunity, even though I did notice as I was taking it, it was the same things, but I realized I was drawn to different answers. Even when you told me, like, what's an opportunity we have? And the other one was, oh, gosh, climate change. So, like, I kind of did like the, I know it was the opposite of the other folks are saying, but I did like the two similar lists with asking me a different question.
Okay.
So I also think that there's a challenge when you start picking up the terminology smart mobility versus the shared mobility, because, again, I think that I have gotten myself confused on it, too, making sure that people really understand the difference between and don't just sort of see smart and lock into something.
Right. Could you do, I know you mentioned the white papers, but I'm wondering if there's almost like a one pager that's like a transit cheat sheet, and it's like bulleted terms and some little picture that I can easily access on like the landing page for the survey, or as you guys are doing pop-ups, maybe there's a cool way to make it a sign, but like something that's like, here's some quick term you need to know, or here's a term you don't know, ask us.
Sure. Right. Yeah. I like that. I just took a voting course online, and it had on the page a little definition, like a little icon that I could click on every single page, and it just was really super tiny, but I didn't know it was there. So that was, I discovered it towards the end of the course, and I was like, oh, this thing's amazing. But if I would have known it was there, I probably would have clicked on it like every other page. So I think that's a great idea.
Okay. For the survey itself, we're going to try and have some representative either icons or photos and some short descriptions, but you know, perhaps a term sheet or a glossary is one of the first things that we sort of work on as people can kind of get to bring people to the same place as a starting point.
Yeah.
The other thing is, too, as you guys think about other groups who can do these focus groups or support you, it becomes a handy tool that they need. Also, at your pop-ups, it might be just like a great conversation starter. I've never seen that icon before. What are they doing over there? And it creates a different method for engagement.
For this group, smart mobility, shared mobility, do you feel like those are, maybe areas that you all want to sort of have the quick cheat sheet on for next meeting? Do you feel like you're well-versed in that already?
When I remind myself I'm well-versed. When my brain locks down, it's like...
And just for my own clarity, the transit-oriented development, do you really mean like the building apartments and other things like near metro stations and things like that? That's what I assumed myself, but then I was wondering, I wonder if that would be confusing when it's...
Yeah,
it's transit-oriented development. Do they mean like, developing new transit? Or I'm not sure how people might interpret it, so I don't know if there's a way to...
You're right. That was probably a fail from the transportation nerds. Because we just say it so often that it just, it means what it means. But it does essentially mean that you focus your growth near places that
around.
Have high-quality transit. But because of that are walkable and bikeable and sort of have all of those different things come together. And so when you're concentrating the growth, and the city's plans have done specifically the growth areas are really tied to either metro rail stations or the future BRT network. So
just a note on time, because I know we're over. Is it okay if we stay till 8:30? Like, would that go through that?
Okay. I have to go, sorry.
As do I.
Okay. Priorities for the transportation network, and we got to select five here, and I think that we still had some people agonizing over that choice.
There's a lot of good choices there, right?
There are good choices, and from our perspective, there's a little bit educational in sort of limiting the options, right? You can only focus on so many things at one time, be it for financial reasons, space reasons, time reasons. So we kind of need to put that into context a little bit. But seems like we've got
sustainable, attractive, and active streets. So really taking you know, a resource that the city has and investing in that resource to do some different activities. Safe streets is also popping up there. So I think that we're hearing something from this group on that front. And since you all talked about bikes, most of you talked about bikes in the intro, not surprised to see that there. Was there anything in here that you expected to see and didn't, or vice versa? And Casey, if you had a comment for us, go right ahead.
I did. I think curbside management is a term that lots of people aren't quite yet got their arms around. So.
And this is the one where we did have the long-form cheat sheet that we'll try and build
out
to something
parking,
more usable.
Some of them will lock right into the word parking and won't see any of the rest of it, but others may stumble over curbside management.
Okay.
They might struggle over incentives as well, not just like what that means.
Right.
And I feel like for us, we know like, oh, it might be your employer helping you out or the city giving you
transit
this
incentives. Might be.
Yeah, that the water taxi reimbursement or something,
yeah.
But I don't know if people are making that connection if they see that word.
Trying to come up with a new phrase for transportation demand management is really, really hard.
It's, all of it's hard. You guys have a hard job. We can totally critique it and you still have to.
One question I just had was around kind of the linkages between questions. So when I look at the embracing innovation, to me that seems like it's getting at the emerging technologies that just came up in the other question. And so just was kind of wondering, as you guys think about it, like the consistency between the terms that you use in each of the questions.
Okay. And you would like to see consistency, or you would like to see enough differentiation that we're not being confusing? Or we can think about that. We can think about that.
Yeah. Like I guess I was just thinking, if I answered the last one and I said that the greatest opportunity was emerging technology, and I'm really interested in how technology is going to show up,
mm-hmm.
and then I have this chance to say my priority, it's like, well, that one's not up here. Let me find which one it fits into, and how do I? And so I just think,
right.
I guess I'm leaning towards consistency.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm also.
I would concur with that.
Straightforward. Yeah. Okay.
But also, so when you guys took this, I didn't do it again just now, they just picked 5. They weren't ranking, right?
Correct.
So in the actual survey, we're hoping that people will rank their top 5, so it won't be as weird if they name something before, don't name something before, and name it here.
So that actually makes this question much more difficult.
Yeah.
And so I think it becomes more challenging for people to answer it. So by having the people, so yeah, so all of a sudden I'm stuck, you know, flipping between 1 and 5, and so now if I don't rank it high enough, does that mean that it's, you know, going to get lost in the shuffle? And yet I think it's important, but I also think something else is important, and so this has happened to me where I just am sitting there for such a long time trying to shift these around, going, is this the right answer?
I wonder if it
it's
comes out
the
in
point.
The end, if you have enough people taking the survey, you get to see what those priorities are, get ranked through a high number of survey takers, if that makes sense.
I guess a better sample size might do that.
Yeah.
I also wonder, too, like, given that this is only the first phase of the engagement,
mm-hmm.
like, if this is a chance to get broad and as many ideas, and then as you guys go into phase 2 and so forth, you're able to present to people like, this is what's coming up, now can you do the ranking?
Right.
I think and if you look at the vision and goals and things from the 2008 plan,
mm-hmm.
like everything was in there, and the plan sort of treats everything kind of equally, so one of the hopes for this plan was really to try to tease out the real priority areas, and if things really rise to the top that we should be putting more of our effort in. So that's sort of the nature of this.
Yeah,
so
I get that, but I think that if, you know, if you got 100 people voting, it might show sort of what you've got here, and so you've got 5 of those you could, you know, possibly take, and without having to, you know, add that next layer in there of trying to prioritize. So.
Okay. I mean, we don't want the questions to be a barrier to executing the survey.
Right. Good
because the overall answer I'm going to give you in a moment, which I'm going to now give you, is that this was relatively simple to do in quick order with knowledge.
Sure.
So the cheat sheets would help somebody. And, you know, that's the key to any survey. If it takes too long, people bail.
Right.
And again, I think seeing this as one of many tools, so if you're not getting to the prioritization here, then what else do you need to do to get there?
Yeah.
While keeping this short, simple.
Right. Right.
Okay. I think that's our, that's the last question we all filled out, right?
Okay.
Okay, well, I'm going to sit down so we can move on and get you out of here.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you for your thoughtfulness and feedback on that.
Well, any other groups, either internally or externally, have a chance to be your test?
This has made me think that we need some more non-transportation people to be our test cases.
That's a good idea.
I think that's a great idea.
So, yeah, I think we'll
one other thing, that not everybody's going to have a cell phone. Some people may not have computers, but they'd like to participate. So at the POP events, will people be able to do surveys there? If not, you might want to consider that. We have found, you know, kind of in sign-ups and other things, when you can get the person to do the survey on the spot, they're likely to do it. You know, if you give them a card to go home with, they may not. But if they don't have the technology, they're definitely not going to be responding.
Sure. Okay.
And that's another reason to keep the survey simple and maybe not do the ranking and so on, or not number, because it'll take too long.
Sure.
And they want it quick.
So yeah, just a recap. So we're hoping that we'll get the survey out in early to mid-July, and have that open for 3 weeks, and then we'll do all the public outreach that we talked about. And hopefully we'll all try to do a polling to see how many attendees we'll actually have at the July 24th meeting, but I think that's an important opportunity at this stage to really try to hammer out the vision. It came up at the Transportation Commission meeting to consider the same time as the Transportation Commission meeting that's canceled.
But then there was concern whether you guys would have time to prepared.
Yeah, I think given that when the survey is going out, it would be better to wait a week. But I do want to make sure we have a quorum at that meeting.
So I know I definitely will not be here on the 24th.
Yeah, I might need to. Question, if we have ideas for locations for the survey outreach, should we just shoot you an email?
Yeah, any other ideas? I do think, we want to do a lot of outreach for the vision, but I think the strategy piece is where we're going to do put more resources into doing that in the fall, and that more people are around too. I think that could be helpful. But yeah, any ideas? Just shoot me an email.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Class dismissed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was good. Yeah. Getting to play with my phone.
We're gonna
now.
Have fun.
You don't get yelled at.
Just gonna get to talk.
So this is my water.
Just wait until I have a gas.
Oh, nice.
That's the next time.
I'm kidding. No more comments, Jake.
Yeah, he was talking to you. Talked to him.
So I had it the other night.
Did you write on?
I know my husband wasn't enough for that.
Okay.
I've been traveling all week.
I'm getting busy.
I had him for one of those hanging with the kids.
Actually, how are you?
Good. Nope.
Life is good.
Nope. I had him in my bag from when I went to Zoom.
I can't complain either. My fitness
is not
working out.
I was giving away back at a time.
But I am enjoying a tourless
summer.
We go to the park sometimes. Is that your park?
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, now we have to go across the street.